The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Hot Stove edition, if you want to call it that, episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Big development today. Max Fried has made his decision, not with the Red Sox. He will go to the New York Yankees on an eight-year, $218 million deal. There are no deferrals in that contract. There is a full no-trade clause that works out to an average annual value of $27 million per year, so that will take him into his age 39 season. More nuggets on the Bregman pursuit. Apparently, there's some disagreements within the front office on whether he should be pursued or not. We'll get into that. And I'm just going to say right away, we try to keep it clean with the language here, but I'm pissed and we're going to speak candidly. If you have kids in the car and adult language is something you're concerned about, I'd probably just put this on pause. Listen to us when you can be in an appropriate space to do that. Because quite frankly, I'm fucking pissed. I am fucking pissed. And we're going to get into that. So with me tonight, Nick Diamond. We're going to get through it. I just want to say today is my doomsday. And it's kind of like on election night, and you can pick any election night you want in the last 20 years. You know how like when one state is going to go for one candidate and they call it with 12% of the vote in just based on exit polling and projections? I'm ready to call it right now. It's going to be a dud of a winter. It's not going to live up to the hype. It's not going to live up to the rhetoric. And there's probably a multitude of reasons for that. But there's just no reason to be confident that we're going to come out of this winter with a team that's capable of winning the division. What are your thoughts, Nick?
Yeah, as of right now, I don't think they have a chance to win the division. And it's really sad because the division has gotten way worse with Soto leaving. Corbin Burns will probably be leaving unless he ends up on the Blue Jays. But yeah, the two top teams that finished ahead of you are going to get significantly worse this year, and you are getting significantly worse. I mean, you lost 31 home runs in Tyler O'Neill. You're not going to replace that. Your pitching rotation is probably worse. You lost Nick Pivetta, a guy that actually throws 180 innings every year. There's so much uncertainty around this team. You're floating Tristan Casas and trade rumors. Who knows how he's going to take that when he doesn't get traded, when no one thinks he has any value. You're floating Willy Abreu. You might end up keeping him. I don't know what's going to happen. At this point, I don't think anything's going to happen. They're getting ran over in winter meetings by the Yankees, by the Mets, by other teams. It looks like the Blue Jays and the Giants are ahead of them and other players. So they're falling behind everywhere, and there's not many players out there left. I mean, you lost the two big left-handed starters that you really need in rotation, and there's not many left out there. You'd have to go to the trade route to get a left-handed starter.
Well, I think you can get
Manaea. You can get Sean Manaea, but yeah, he's not the same tier as the other two.
No, absolutely not. And so we were like literally minutes before this came down, like you could see the momentum picking up. Like it seemed like a deal was close. It started with Ken Rosenthal in the middle of the afternoon. And then there was tweets. I don't remember who tweeted it, but apparently he had a 7-year deal worth north of 200. So that came out. And I, one of us put that in the war room, and I said, well, I would do that deal. I would do a 7-year deal for Max Fried. You agreed with me right away, and I want to say within 3 or 4 minutes, Passan broke the news. He had signed with the Yankees for 8 years, 218, and it was over. And then you're waiting on the details to come out. You know, the no trade clause, no deferrals. Apparently only the Dodgers defer money. They think that's the way to do business. I hope it bites them, because nobody else seems to think that that's smart. But it was over. It was over. And then to add insult to injury, we got more quotes, mostly from the Mass Live guys who have been all over this. Like, they're always at the forefront. And basically, they said, per their sources, the Red Sox weren't even close. They weren't even in the ballpark for what the Yankees gave Max Fried.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, honestly. They were probably around 6 years, $150 and $70 million short or something like that. It's just 27 AAV is nothing. If you have to go the 8th year, who cares? You need a left-handed starter. You need a front-end starter. Go match that or top it. You have to top it. I mean, no one wants to come here at the moment. But go 8 years, 225. You have to get a starting pitcher. And now there's only one top-tier starting pitcher left on the market.
To just piss me off even more, we got quotes from Breslow not long after. This is what he said about adding pitching and what their mindset is. And it just pisses me off. Like, I'm going to read the quotes here, but the opposite of what he's talking about is what he's actually doing. And he's just spewing stuff out like a politician would, just generic bullshit. So here's the quote. And it's what we heard from him in the year he's been here. It's what we heard from Bloom. Talking about starting pitching, Breslow says, obviously it's a need. We talked about that. We'll stay active and engaged and continue to try to work towards doing that. We need to remain aggressive and convicted in our decision making. Convicted in our decision making. That's not what happened here. There was no aggression here. Okay, more from Breslow right here. My general approach here is that in order to attract free agent talent, you have to be willing to get uncomfortable. Now, again, the exact opposite just took place. There's not much uncomfortable about what that deal was, as we've already underscored. $27 million a year. That's the going rate. Nathan Eovaldi signed a 3-year deal about an hour or two after that for $25 million a year, only for 3 years, but you're paying mid to upper 20s for a number two starter or better. That's the going rate. I don't think Breslow is aware of that. He doesn't have any awareness of what the market is. But getting back to the quote, I'm just so pissed. He says, I don't think it would be fair to speak about any of my individual pursuits or deals outside of saying that the sentiment is in the room is that we recognize that as we're willing to improve this team. Willing to improve the team. Okay. This can't be about doing what feels perfectly comfortable. None of what he did not execute anything about what he just said in those two lengthy quotes I just gave.
Not at all. Like you said, he has no idea what the market's like. He doesn't know how to go out and ask. He doesn't know how to talk to agents. He doesn't know how to negotiate with these guys. If we don't know what the offer was because it hasn't been disclosed, but I'm assuming it's very far off, $60, $70 million, probably a year or two off, whatever. But you got to be able to go ask the agent, how far off are we? You know, like, how can we get this closer? If we want Max Fried, how can we get this done? And he can't do that. He hasn't shown that he's able to do that. Breslow's meaning of, or his definition of uncomfortable, is making Michael Fulmer a starter, a guy who hasn't started in 5 years, a guy who hasn't pitched in 2 years, a guy not even on the 40-man roster. He's talking about making this guy a starter, but we can't go out and pay a starting pitcher that should be on the major league team. Michael Fulmer has no business even making the roster.
And if he's a Rule 5 guy, he has to stay on the big league club. So there's no, oh, we'll send him down and just call him up when we need him for depth. You can't do that with a Rule 5 guy. You have to keep him on the 26 man the entire year. And we lost Noah Song to the Phillies. Dombrowski was able to do some workarounds to get him onto the injured list or something, to milk it, to try to get him ready to stay on the big league club. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't hold it down. So Dombrowski had to return him to the Red Sox. I don't know what his status is right now, but if you're drafting a Rule 5 guy, you have to keep him. And if you get Michael Fulmer, if that's one of your moves, that's probably worse than anything that's happened in the last 4 or 5 years. Worse than Garrett Richards. Worse than Corey Kluber. There's a reason Michael Fulmer is not valued. There is no reason whatsoever the Red Sox should be the team that values him. That's just bullshit. It's the same old fucking bullshit that's been rammed down our throats year after year after year. We didn't get to talk about Shane Bieber last night, but that's also a high risk move that we can't really afford to have blow up on us. When I saw that, I got uncomfortable. And now here we are into the, what, day two of the winter meetings, and you're blowing it.
We're talking Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns is not going to get done. Breslow's shown nothing that he can get that deal done. I don't know if ownership's going to go out and pay a starting pitcher $300 million. It's not going to happen. But a guy like Walker Buehler, who we're talking about, is kind of like a Shane Bieber, a guy coming off injury who's been dominant in the past, hasn't been as good as of late, and they probably not going to get that deal done too. He'll probably be loyal to L.A. if they want to keep him as depth, or he'll go find another rotation where he can fit in and go win a World Series. I don't think Walker Buehler is going to even come to Boston if they don't show more. So I just, nothing's going to happen.
The big upside to Buehler for me is he at least stayed healthy through his comeback season. It wasn't pretty in terms of the data, but he flipped a switch in October, and that's why I'm willing to do it. We don't know what Bieber's going to be. We don't even know what Giolito's going to be in his first season back. But at least we saw it with Buehler. So, yeah, that's a risk, but I'm willing to take it. I don't know what that contract's going to look like. Theoretically, you would think it would be a one-year deal. Buehler's just going to hopefully go out there, light it up, and then get his big contract next year. But maybe because of the insanity of the market here, you're going to have to give him a three-year deal, perhaps with opt-outs after every year or something, just to get it done.
That's what I'm thinking now. I think it'll be Blake Snell contract, not as much money, but that kind of deal where he'll have an opt-out after one, opt-out after two, and it'll probably be a three-year deal.
I'll do it.
I think he'll get it, and I'd do it too, but you got to get more. He's not going to slot in at number one. I don't want Walker Buehler coming off a 4.6 ERA to be my number one guy. Absolutely not.
No, I don't either. Let's talk about, so with Burns, we kind of touched on him. There's no reason to expect they're going to spend the money. And that was the instant pivot on social media. They're like, it's fine. It's fine. Burns is still out there. We still have a chance. We can still salvage this. Even guys like Lou Maloney were saying that. They're not paying attention. They're not reading the writing on the wall. They're just in desperation mode at this point, and they're blinded by their own desperation. As content creators, we're sitting here right now just reading the writing on the wall, seeing the situation for what it is, and there's no precedent for them to do it. And their actions so far this free agency season doesn't suggest they're gonna pony that up for Burns. It's just, and here's the other thing too. They're going to have to be the highest bidder. They're going to have to give him the most money. Nobody's coming to Boston on the third best deal. There's no allure right now with Boston. It's a toxic organization, and you're going to have to pay up, and you're going to have to be the top bidder. And by the top bidder, not match the top bidder, you're going to have to be the top bidder. And that's not how this team does business.
Not only is it this team's, you know, very dysfunctional, no one wants to come to Boston, this is a hitters-friendly ballpark with a terrible defense. What pitcher is going to choose the Boston Red Sox over another team right now, unless they're getting $30 million, $40 million more? If you want Corbin Burns, you better start your contract offer with a 3, and it might have to go up. Like, it might be 320. I mean, I'm assuming after Freed got about 218 for 8 years, maybe you get like 288-ish for Burns. I don't know, 275. But if the Red Sox want him, it has to start with a 3.
Well, I mean, it could. I mean, just because everything's inflated. Gerrit Cole, I think, was a better pitcher when he signed with the Yankees.
Yeah, and he was a year younger, too.
Exactly. So that was a 9-year, $324 million deal. So I think Burns comes in at about 275 to 300, I would say. It sounds about right to me, but everything's inflated right now, and he's going to the Giants. That's what I think's going to happen. Buster Posey is out there. He's trying to make a name for himself as an executive. He signed Willie Adames. I don't like that deal. I don't like the Chapman extension. I think you could have had him much cheaper long term. He's coming off of a very good year, one of his career best years, but I think that's just an anomaly. But he's gonna do what he can do to bolster that staff and compete with the Dodgers. And I think Burns has been on record saying he would love to play out west. I don't know where he's from. I think he is from out west, but there's no reason to suggest he's gonna play for the Boston Red Sox, They're gonna do exactly what they have to do to make sure that happens.
Yeah, I guess the initial reports were that the Red Sox were making a very strong push for Burns, but it already came out like an hour or two later that the Giants and the Blue Jays have jumped ahead of the Red Sox. So they're already falling down, and it's only been a couple hours. So there's no reason to believe this is going to get done. There's a chance that he goes to a rival in division and you become a worse team, another team gets better than you. One thing I wanted to bring up, you talked about Matt Chapman. I just think it's so weird how they announced the Aroldis Chapman deal 10 minutes after Max Fried is a Yankee. Like, what a time to announce Aroldis Chapman officially as soon as Max Fried is announced to the Yankees. It was just so weird, bad timing. Usually the Red Sox do that after like five other big time, like good moves. They wanted to just sneak that in there. Now they just announce it at the worst time in the middle of the winter meetings. You know, it's just weird way to do it. You just missed out on Soto. The fans are pissed. What a way to make them even more pissed.
Yeah. I mean, when that deal happened, we just kind of took it in, assuming there would be a bigger move based on the rhetoric that we got. And now it doesn't look good at all. Like, that's been your move so far. That's been your move. And another thing too, and I didn't say this at the time, I didn't say this last week coming into this, but if you don't make a move in the winter meetings, you're not making it. Like, that's just how this team is. There's no big move that's coming. So you have 2 days left. You got Wednesday and Thursday. I think they all go home Thursday afternoon. So it's like a day and a half, really. I don't know what you do here. I just mentioned that Evaldi deal. I think Breslow sees that and he's shitting his pants. He's like, oh my God, he just got that. How am I now? he's going to be like, how do I structure a deal for any of the remaining guys? I'm at a loss for words here. And I posted on social media, I'm at the point where I believe this 1,000%. Chaim Bloom was bad. Craig Breslow is worse. He is worse than Chaim Bloom. He has far less confidence, far less ability to execute. And I think Bloom at least could talk to agents, could talk to other teams. I think he was respected by most of those parties, but Breslow is bad, really bad. You look back to the Paxton deal, that whole trade deadline, it just pisses me off even worse now. You came out of it with James Paxton and Danny Jansen and Luis Garcia as your main pieces. And it didn't look good. It didn't look good at the time. And it looks even worse now, just like we're talking about the Chapman deal. It looks worse.
Yeah, I was a huge Bloom hater. I think, you know how I always thought the Mookie deal killed Bloom's confidence. I think he came into Boston super confident, coming from the Rays, thinking he's going to be this new up-and-coming guy, and the Mookie return screwed him. And then 2021 happened, and then Trevor Story screwed him. I think with Breslow, he's so scared to make a mistake after he traded the Cy Young winner for Vaughn Grissom. I don't think he's going to make a trade. I don't think he's going to go sign a starting pitcher. I think he's going to try to find Cooper Criswell-like guys and try to turn them into big-time starting pitchers. That's not how you win baseball games in Boston. Go sign somebody. And if you can't do it, ask for help from the guy Theo Epstein they hired to help you. Like, he's at the winter meetings. Go help him. He knows how to do it. Craig Breslow obviously doesn't. You have a guy there that can help you do it. He's done it before and won multiple championships. Like, you have the resources. Make something happen. Try to learn. You're a smart guy. Like, you went to Yale. You won a World Series yourself. You can figure this out. I just don't get it, how he's so bad. I guess he worked remotely with the Cubs, and he really has no front office experience. But you can't be this shy. You can't be this worried in a big market like Boston. Like, he's not going to last year, and it sucks because I like that he was a former player. I thought that was going to be better than Bloom, but so far it's not working out, and the fans are starting to turn on him quickly. So, I'm one of them.
I don't know how he survives this next season. And let's kind of pivot a little bit. So Alex Bregman's been the big name for non-pitchers in the last 48, 72 hours. Cora spoke glowingly about him, and we discussed that on last night's episode, and they have a relationship. Cora was there in 2017. That was basically the breakout year for Bregman. And I get why Cora wants him in Boston. So he spoke very glowingly. And it came out today. This was another Sean McAdam report. He's been on fire this last couple weeks with breaking these stories. According to a source that he's familiar with, there's some infighting in regards to whether or not they should pursue Alex Bregman. And it's Alex Cora and Sam Kennedy versus Breslow in that whole saga. Breslow doesn't want him. Cora and Kennedy both want him. And more fuel essentially got thrown on the fire today because Zach Scott, who was with the Red Sox in the front office in various roles for well over a decade, he was briefly the Mets GM until a DUI got him fired. He was only there for a month or two when that happened, but he took a shot at Kennedy of all people, saying that, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, that Kennedy really has no business making the baseball decisions because he's the sales guy in the front office. You know, handles the ticket sales, the marketing, blah, blah, blah. And so shots fired there. What do you make of the whole this whole thing? And we don't know that they were like all screaming at each other. It might be just a civil disagreement, but they're not all on the same page. They're not united in whatever the goals are.
My first takeaway is if Breslow signs Alex Bregman, a guy he doesn't even like, but can't sign Max Fried, a guy that he actually does like, he should step down immediately. Like if Alex Cora is influencing the chief baseball officer that he will convince him to sign a third baseman when we already have a third baseman over a starting pitcher when we have no starting pitcher, is embarrassing. You should give Alex Cora the CBO job that we all thought could have maybe had a chance of happening. Not really, but there was talk about it. And just no way that Alex Bregman will be signed if he doesn't even like him. He can't sign pitchers that he does like. So I think it's a non-issue at this point. Who cares? Unless Sam Kennedy's given the job to go negotiate with Alex Bregman, I doubt that's going to happen. I think Alex Bregman would laugh in his face if Sam Kennedy was the one talking baseball.
Honestly, nothing would shock me. And I do get the impression that Kennedy is like a GM wannabe. He should be nowhere near those two. He needs to get the fuck out of there. Get out of there. Keep your mouth shut and let the baseball people do their jobs. And Alex Cora really needs to do the same thing. He's the manager. Maybe he can give some input, but he's just the manager. And that's all it should be.
And exactly. If you like Alex Bregman, which is totally fine, you were his former coach and he won a World Series with you, that's fine. But you can't force your boss to go sign this guy. You can't have more say than the general manager or the CBO. It can't work that way. An organization cannot work that way.
Another thing I found interesting was every single Mass Live guy retweeted that Zach Scott tweet.
I saw that too, because I have people's notifications on. I'm like, I just got four of these notifications.
Yeah, I have all the Mass Live guys. I don't subscribe to Zach Scott, but I hope they pour more fuel on the fire. I hope they look into this more, look into the dynamics of what's really going on. I'm at the point now, just let it burn. Just let it burn. And I just don't see how it's going to get any better. I don't see how Breslow really survives 2025 and keeps his job. And I don't know why, as you just kind of alluded to, why he would even want to. There's no way this ends well for him. He doesn't know how to do it. People are turning against him, much like they turned against Chaim Bloom. Starting in the summer of 2003, if the team was on the road, Bloom was never at Fenway. He would either go with the team or he would go to the minor league stadiums and watch all his prized prospects play. He wasn't in the office because he wasn't really on speaking terms with them. They all turned on him when it wasn't working. And the only way to fix this, I think what will happen here is, yeah, he'll get fired or quit. And then I think Cora will get the job. He'll get the GM job. I don't know if he'll be the GM and the manager, kind of like Belichick was, the GM and the coach. But it'll go to Alex Cora, and I don't see who's going to want it. If Sam Kennedy is still at Fenway Park, nobody's coming here. Nobody's coming here and getting Sam Kennedy and all of his minions that never get fired, that never get hired away. I mean, none of Brian O'Halloran, Eddie Romero, Raquel Ferreira, nobody wants these guys. You never hear about these guys interviewing for the job that Breslow got anywhere else. They're just
never.
It's just a toxic group of dumbasses that can't get out of their own way. They need to be fired. Sam Kennedy, he's a part owner of the team. He needs to be put someplace else in the Fenway Sports Group, out of Fenway. Give him a fancy office job. Get him out of Fenway. And I would have Theo Epstein lead the search for whoever the next top executive is. That's what needs to happen. It's not going to happen, but this is what needs to happen. Epstein is respected. People will talk to Epstein. And if John Henry's willing to clean house, maybe that's how you rebuild it. But I don't see how you fix it. It's snowballing and it's just getting worse and worse. And it's on display for everybody. Other owners are seeing it. Players' agents are seeing it. Everybody is seeing the turmoil that's taking place here.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. And the trusting of a manager over two CBOs, let's just call them general managers at this point. The whole reason Chaim Bloom was replaced is because he couldn't get along with Alex Cora. They couldn't see eye to eye baseball-wise. They weren't matching up well. We brought in a former player, and we're doing the exact same thing. Like, I thought this would be a little bit better since they both actually played baseball past their high school ages, you know? But it's not working. It's like you said, you can't do like you did in football where like Bill Belichick is in charge of the 53-man roster and coaching the team. It's physically impossible for Alex Cora to be able to run a single A team and all these minor league guys and a whole organization. Maybe just the 26-man roster he could be in charge of, but there's no way that he can be in charge of the entire organization and coach the team for 162 games and hopefully more. I don't think it's possible for him. I don't think it's possible for any one man in the world to have that much work going on. You'd have to have Alex Cora hire his own guys at that point.
That's a good point. I mean, football is way more simple, you know, as far as how the roster is. You don't have minor league teams at all, really. You have a practice squad, I guess, but yeah, I don't know where we go, but you got 2 days left of the winter meetings. Then you're going to have the second part of December when everybody else just signs. And then in January, you've got fringe guys. You could still trade for someone, but Breslow doesn't know how to trade Tristan Casas. He's not good at anything. There's nothing that he's good at. I think you might have froze.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, it's all good.
Yeah, the Tristan Casas thing with the Mariners, they couldn't even like send over a counteroffer. They don't want to deal with us. Like, none of these teams want Tristan Casas. None of these teams want to deal with the Red Sox organization. They can deal with other organizations right now. The Red Sox are not an easy team to deal with. They're not easy to sign. You can't sign free agents. They can't make trades. It's just embarrassing at this time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where to go with it, really. I think Burns will probably sign. Let's see, today's Tuesday at the time of the recording. He'll probably sign on Wednesday or Thursday before the end of the meetings, most likely with the Giants. Who knows what kind of a deal we'll get, but I got nothing left, really.
I guess the only other guy that they were somewhat linked to was James McCann. If you come out of the winter meetings with just James McCann, it was a total failure.
True.
I don't even care enough to talk about James McCann. I don't hate him as a baseball player, but I'd be so disappointed. That's all we get, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it's already a failure to me. They didn't live up to the rhetoric. They weren't bold. They didn't become the force that everyone expected them to be. I don't know. I wish I could be a fly on the wall right now just to see what Breslow's demeanor is. How is he? Because they're all in a big hotel in Dallas somewhere, and they're all interacting. Like, is he the awkward guy that's off in the corner that nobody wants to talk to by the punch bowl? You know, I just it has to be awkward. I hope it's awkward, and I hope none of them are comfortable. And I just, at this point, like I said, let it burn. Just let it burn.
I mean, there's nothing else you could do about it. You just can be hopeful. Hopefully something changes. We don't see it coming. I think the fan base is starting to realize it's happening again. Full throttle again. Same thing as last year. Same thing as the last few years. Interest kings, whatever you want to call it. They're interested in everybody. They're not going to sign many. At this point, this team's a fourth place team at best at this point. I mean, they're worse than last year. You lost 31 homers, and you need to make up these guys. You need to get innings back. I mean, right now we got nothing, and I know there's still a little bit of time in the winter meetings, but it's very, very sad that it's happening again.
So we'll wrap on this. Who knows? We could be back tomorrow. I mean, we're going to cover everything. That's what we do. We're masochists. We're, you know, that's what you are when you're a Red Sox podcaster. So I can't imagine I'll be as mad. You know, I'll be, you know, on the next episode. But it was a terrible day. And what a terrible time in history to be a Red Sox fan. So everyone have a good Wednesday. Take care.